Can a person interrupt himself? Well, if he can, I'm doing that because it's such a crucial time of year for financial support of Christian ministries. Fortis Institute is no exception. If you have been blessed in any way, shape, or form by any of our fellows, Greg Giffert, John Kratz, Adam Tyson, any of the guys that do Libby Glosson and their great podcasts, our resources, books, everything free at fortisplus.org. If that has been a blessing to you and you have the ability to be a blessing to us, would you consider doing it at this time? We have a matching gift campaign, which means every dollar you give is doubled. And if you are willing to do that and others join you in that, we're going to enter 2026 stronger than ever and preach the gospel louder than ever. FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry, if you have a complaint, you're going to have to take it up with Paul Washer. This is Wretched Radio, a veritable Donnybrook taking place on the internet machine because Paul Washer, he was critical. That, I know that might come as a surprise to you, but Paul Washer has an issue specifically with a subject that is, well, it's near and dear to my heart because I've observed it and shared his lament for years. And so recently when he mounted the pulpit, looks like he's at Grace Community Church because you can always tell when somebody's preaching at GCC, can't you? Because of the wood grain. I'm going to ruin your life right now, as was ruined for me a couple of years ago. I think, you know what, Jimmy? It was Tom Hammond, that rascal. He said, take a look at the pulpit at Grace Community Church. The grain on the top of the spaceship, you know, where you put all your notes in the micro, it's going horizontal. But the boards underneath, it's almost kind of shiplappy in an old-fashioned kind of way. They are going up and down. Oh. I guess the word would be vertical. Oh, now I can't stop looking at it, and neither will you. Paul Washer mounted that esteemed pulpit. Esteemed, is that the right word? Austere. No, that's not the right word. That exalted. Okay, let's go with that. That grand pulpit at Grace Community Church, despite its grain problems, and he let it fly when it came to preaching. And wow, wow, did he take a beating online.
There's one thing that I see over and over missing in all these expositors.
Hold the phone right there. In order to correctly dine on the banquet that Paul is going to set before us, we need to be mindful of the range of preaching that exists today and historically. It's sort of like the semantic range of a word. It's more like Bible translations. Got to understand that there's types of Bible translations. On the far right, which is the right side, of course, you have what would be called formal equivalents. These are more word for word. Way over to the left, you've got paraphrases where it's like, we just want to get the gist of the text. And so that, of course, means a ton of interpretation was put into that translation. So you've got this range of Bibles that vary from one side to the other. And the same thing is true with preaching. Way over on the right side, there's a couple of styles of preaching way over on the right side. One could be described as scholastic. This was pre-Reformation preaching where it was just very, very academic. Here is what this thing says. Period. So think Thomas Aquinas style scholastic preaching. That's one camp. The other would be what it would be called, we'll call it just pure expository preaching. the challenge, and I think this is what Paul is after, is there's varying types of expository preaching, but we'll simply define it as line by line, verse by verse, through book by book. Now, there's a lot of components in that, and we're going to dive into those components, but that's way over there on the right side. Now, to the left of that, let's call it not the middle, because it's more right. And believe me, there can be shades of all of these things. When you listen to a sermon, you'll be able to go, okay, I know where this guy is coming from. Okay, I see his philosophy of preaching. You would have something called thematic preaching. It doesn't ignore expository, but it spends more time teaching the point of the text, probably heavier with application than most expository preaching. That would be called thematic. And I hate to, I don't want to put topical way to the left, but for the sake of just understanding the landscape, we will. Not that, I'm not saying that it's necessary wrong to do a topical sermon. It can be wrong. It can be wrong to do a topical. You can do it wrongly. But there can be a right way where you open up a text because you want to speak on a topic and the topic drives the text. It's different from thematic in that it is less of an exposition and then it is on just a teaching of a topic. Now, just as I said that topical preaching can be delivered wrongly, we hear these all the time, don't we? Okay, recently I went to some websites. I was looking to see how websites communicate their message as to what they are, because we're doing some work on Alpharetta Bible Church's website. And I caught some openings for some sermons. They're definitely, at some of these bigger churches, I thought, why not piggyback on all of the money they spend on marketing and website design? I saw some of the sermons, and they're so topical. Now, it doesn't mean there's no Bible in them, but they're so heavy topical. And one other bellyache, if you don't mind, can we get a new opening? Guys, if you're going to be the groovy pastor, can you please somebody write something other than, hey, 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 church, morning, everybody. How's about them Packers, huh? Taking on the Bears, the Bears. How's about the Pack? You ever been to Green Bay? Please, something new would be really refreshing other than, hey, hey, how are you, church? Slightly better than that is, it's a good day to be in God's house, isn't it? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. A clap of, what do they call it? A clap of praise or something?
Yeah,
hand clap of praise,
yeah. Yeah.
I digress. So you've got those varying shades of preaching. And I would suggest that they can all be done rightly. The question is, and every pastor, if he doesn't answer this question, he should be answering this question. What are we here at this church? Because if you don't have that, it's going to be a little bit schizophrenic. You're going to be all over the place. Your style and the messaging and what people should expect will be confusing to them. It will be somewhat incoherent in its organizational structure. I'm an expositor guy, but I join Paul Washer in his lament. There is a type of exposition which we need to understand. Expository preaching, as we've come to know and love it, is a relatively new historical, evolvement. Is that a word? It's evolved into what we know today as expository preaching, where it's line by line, verse by verse, book by book. That's a relatively new style of preaching. Now, you can find it throughout the ages. But as a general rule, historically, what we saw was it was scholastic from the cross. It would be more scholastic all the way to the Protestant Reformation, which then became more I'll probably get in trouble for this, but let's just say thematic, because they didn't follow line by line, book by book. Go ahead, dive into one of your favorite preachers, one of the great reformer commentaries, one of the great Puritan commentaries, and you're going to be shocked to discover, hey, why isn't everything in order here? It's because they didn't do it that way. Now, they dove deeper than any topical sermon would. So So they're not, they weren't topical, but they weren't what we know as expositional today, in that they didn't just go from just march right through a book. Now, Paul Washer has noticed inside of the expository camp, and you need to understand there's varying shades of expository, because expository preaching, as it is taught in the classroom, it should, I think, have two additional components in addition to didactics. Teaching must be there. Teaching on the text, not just on the theme, not just on the teaching has to be there on the text. And so if you do thematic preaching that doesn't exposit any text, I think personally that's deficient. Expository preaching, as Paul Washer is pointing out, has fallen into a different ditch, and that it is purely didactic, and it's lacking the two elements and the two components that I think should be there, one of which would be it must have application. This is what it looks like. In fact, I'm working on a sermon this week for Sunday. We get to talk about born for your glorification. Sorry. No, that's in 3 weeks. Okay, we got a theme for Christmas, for Advent. We're doing something called Advent. Have you heard about it? Yeah. We used to do that in Protestant circles to prepare for the birth of our Savior. So it's born for what Jesus came to accomplish for us. So one is glorification. I think that'll be Christmas Eve. One is going to be sanctification. The other one would be what we're going to call securitization, because we want to make sure that it ends in an yun. In other words, that you're assured of your salvation. But then born for your adoption. I thought that was kind of cute, kind of a play on words, born for your adoption, because you're adopted into God's family. And I came up with 10 benefits of adoption working through Galatians 4:4. That there they are. These are the applications. And then I wrote a question. What does that look like this week? That is to apply the text. And as you're going to hear from Paul Washer, he ain't happy that that's missing. Next on Wretched Radio.
Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match up to $500,000. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today.
Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out.
Books of the Bible. Acts is a second volume of the Gospel according to Luke. It begins with the ascension of Christ and covers the first 30 years of the early church. Acts is about the sovereignty of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the preaching of the word as early Christians seek to spread the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Where were you when I needed you? This is Wretched Radio. All right, here's the word I was gunning for. To take security and then put a yun on the end.
Right.
So just so we can make the theme of the four Advent sermons, you know, all sound like the same. So, you know, you've got glorification, sanctification, adoption, security. See how it just kind of, it's like a lame foot.
Yeah.
So securitization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Securitization.
Or you could have just said protection.
Whatever. This is radio. That works. Protection is good. There's another word that I'm just, wow, am I tripping over this Sunday, Alpharetta Bible Church. If you're in town, we'd love to see you. Talking about the doctrine of adoption, that Jesus was born for our adoption. And the Greek word for adoption, it's driving me nuts. I think I can read Greek pretty well. This is a word. And then the accent is I think it's on the ultimate, at the ultimate, the end. I can't say it. It's got a bunch, like six vowels in a row. And I'm just garbling it up. And that's a good thing because, you know what? Nobody needs to know the Greek word. Do they? I mean, really, do they need to know the Greek word? I've done it. Every pastor does. The Greek word is, and then you share it, and you can talk about the semantic range. And I think talking about the range of the word, the understanding of the word, first century, and then letting context determine which aspect of that word applies rightly. But why do we need to say the Greek word, other than to let everybody know we know Greek? So I'll be working on securitization. I don't know, Jimmy. Might stick with that.
Okay.
Our protection.
Yeah, that sounds good.
If you must. As we prepare for our Advent service. By the way, does your church do Advent? It's not a law. You don't have to. But with all of the energy and effort that we put into Christmas Eve, historically, we prepared people's hearts by preaching on Advent verses, and there's dozens of them in the Old Testament, to prepare our hearts so that we can feel like the Jews of the Old Testament, oh, come thou long expected prophet, David's son, David's Lord, come, Emmanuel, we are longing for your appearance. That's how we should feel on Christmas Eve. Oh, he's here, finally. He arrived. He's here. We used to prepare our hearts in that way. We don't anymore. Used to do that for Easter. We don't anymore. And I think that's a great loss. And I think that would be something where conservative evangelicals could start shoring it up a little bit in 2026, where we it's like, hey, there's nothing wrong with having some structure to the year. Doesn't need to violate expository preaching. But it does mean that we're trying to make the main things the main things and focus on the big stuff. Just a thought for your consideration, Pastor, which is the group that it appears Paul Washer was after when he went on a woo-hoo-hoo kind of a, I'm not happy with the expository preaching of today.
There's one thing that I see over and over missing in all these expositors.
They aren't applying the Bible. That is one of the elements that I believe is missing from today's expositional preaching in general. Not everybody, in general. Where is the application? We've got the scholastic part. We've got the didactic part down. Where is the application? That is one of, I think, the big elements missing from, well, too many pulpits these days.
When I come to church, I don't want to hear a New Testament class.
Oh.
I want to hear preaching.
Now, that would be the second element right there. Now, I don't know if Paul was after this or not. It appears that he's looking for application. But I think, too, he's stressing. I think he is affirming this. Preaching! Preach! Don't just talk to us. Hey, everybody, how's it going today? And we're going to talk to you about your finances, and everything is going to be delivered kind of like this in kind of a homey little monologue. Breach! This is urgent. This is big. And as a part of that preaching, it needs to contain elements of encouragement. It needs to contain elements of correction, conviction, and presenting it in a way that says, hey, this stuff, it's actually important.
I want to see a man who has life and death painted on his face. I want to have the great matters of eternity set before me.
That is preaching. Can you do that with expositing a text? Absolutely. In fact, I would say you must. You must do that. Because if you don't do that, I think it's just falling short of the type of preaching that actually brings about transformation. And it misses the affections. Because application can still just address the mind. But what motivates the application of teaching? The affections. And that is why preaching, I think, needs to be God exalting. That the text, whatever it is teaching about it, and I know it's easy to do this, and I know that it's hard to do it freshly every single week, but I think every sermon should exalt Jesus. Every single one. We're Christians. If you can preach a sermon in a temple, and a rabbi says, that was very good. That's right. That was actually my Jewish impersonation. If he affirms it, you didn't preach, Christian pastor. You didn't, because it didn't exalt Jesus Christ. A rabbi should be like, stop. We don't do that in here. And unfortunately, we're not doing that a lot. And I think that there's a lot of good guys that are expositing, and they're perhaps recognizing that elements are missing. And I think the two big elements are application and Christ exaltation. See what I did there, Jimmy? Application. Christ exaltation. Yep. That's preaching.
I want to be urged. I want to be begged. I want to be pleaded with, because the subject matter is worthy of it. And this was the Apostle Paul. He doesn't just lay truth before people and then walk off the platform patting himself on the back because he did a good job expositing a text.
Oh, I'll just let that one lay there without comment.
No! There should be no contentment in the preacher unless God is glorified and men and women are moved.
That, of course, was the one and only Paul Washer lamenting what he thinks is missing in too much expository preaching these days. That clip made its way onto the internet machine, and I have for your consideration some of the responses. Let's engage. Shall we? These are people making comments. Now, some affirmed it. Amen. There are way too many examples of sermons being nothing more than empty theological lectures. Man is not just a mind. Well, it's not just intellect. He's also heart and a soul, because mind, it's got a different shading of heart and soul. But it needs to preach not just to the intellectual center, is this fellow's point, because we're commanded to love the Lord with all three. If our preachers are just reaching the mind, they are failing. One guy said, I listen to Paul Washer in the gym. It's like steroids. Not everybody felt the same way. Why is this guy dressed like he's selling insurance? Okay, that has nothing to do with the argument now, does it? That's an ad hominem. But I'll defend him. He's dressing in a way that indicates what he's doing is more important than selling insurance. That's why he's dressed that way. This is, there are different forms of preaching. This gives off old man yells at clouds vibes. What is this retard talking about? That's wonderful stuff right there. The defense, okay, this is the people jumping in on this. Somebody just basically saying, you don't have any Bible verses to back this up, so back off, step off, Paul. But some people said, the defensiveness of so many on here is telling. Washer is not arguing for emotionalism, nor is he opposed to exposition. He's reminding pastors that their job is not an intellectual exercise. The fate of men's souls are on the line. So preach like it. Thank you, sir. You found what I think that he's after here. That we do exposit the text. Otherwise, then we're all Andy Stanley and we're just making stuff up. Maybe slapping a Bible verse on your little monitor on the stage. But that ain't preaching. That's not expository preaching. That preaching, though, needs to be more than mere intellectualism. It needs to show this is what we do with this, motivated by preaching. Can we get back to preaching? We're a man set on fire. People will come to watch burn because they see a man who's passionate and it's urgent. And I believe, my personal opinion, that will actually resonate in these times, perhaps more than ever before. Pastor, how you doing in your preaching from the pulpit? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.